If you want to know anything about the film industry, ask Linda Burns. The filmmaker has years of experience making movies here and across the nation. Linda is an instructor for the Atlanta Film Society and also runs the PA Academy. She joins us now to talk about why education is imperative for Georgia's growing film industry. Linda Burns, welcome to City Lights.
Why, thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Many Atlanta filmmakers know you as an educator. You host the PA Academy, and you just wrapped up the summer session. In the film industry hierarchy, what are the responsibilities of a PA or production assistant?
Production assistant is generally the entry-level position in the film business. So it's where you start. It's kind of like the office intern. You may be running for coffee, you may be getting the cast food, you may be handing out walkie-talkies, collecting in and out times. You're the eyes and ears of the assistant director department and the production department. So you're really disseminating information from the set outside. So when you go to roll, just like being on the radio, you need people to be quiet around you so you only hear one voice. PAs are doing that same thing in the film business, making sure when the camera's rolling, when the sound is rolling, that everyone outside the set, that there's no work going on, there's no chatter, they're getting people to and from set. So there's a billion different kind of duties and responsibilities, but it's really the entry-level way to kind of get your feet wet and look at what all the different departments do.
I'm intrigued with your mention of getting coffee because, you know, this is the kind of thing that some people would say, yeah, I did not study what I studied to do this. And yet there are so many people eager to break into a field who are willing to work for very little, often just for the apprenticeship, that, you know, what you're describing about a PA, it's just expected that you do such menial things. So what is there that the person who becomes the PA, the production assistant, gains access to once he or she is on the set?
They're gaining access to really the set. They're seeing how the machine works. They're pulling back that curtain and looking and seeing, you know, what do we all see best boy grip and we have no idea what that is in a credit. What do those people do? What is the equipment? What is the hierarchy, the protocol, the terminology? So it seems like menial things, but, you know, the Army still moves off of food and water, you know, and coffee fuels our industry like everything else does. So we couldn't do it without them. It's the entry-level position or the lowest on the totem pole, but what's the lowest thing on the totem pole? It's the foundation that supports everything else. And I think that's really what production assistants do. But they're gaining access to people. They're gaining access to mentorship and really seeing what they'd like to do when they grow up. Nobody wants to stay a PA forever, but it allows you to pick and choose and see what people really do and then choose a path that they may want to go from there.
Is that how you began?
I did. I started off working for free for a lot of different projects, volunteering, taking classes, going to network events, going to screenings, meeting people. But yeah, volunteered, then did a good job, got people's attention, got called for paid work. Still completely do free stuff now if it's art projects that I feel passionately about. But I absolutely did. And I've worked in, you know, I don't just do features and TV or commercials. Like, we've gotten very segmented as we've grown. But I did everything from infomercials to live events to music videos to television commercials, a little bit of everything. My theory is when you're starting out, say yes to everything because you don't know where you're going to fit in and what you're going to love and who you're going to meet and what opportunity it's going to bring you.
And there are so many different forms of production, as we know. There's the Georgia Film Academy. The Film Union has classes. There's SCAD Film. What do you try to do with the PA Academy that distinguishes you from the others?
I think there's two things. The one thing that I'm very proud of is it's the PA Academy is nonprofit, and the proceeds go to Georgia Production Partnership as well as Atlanta Film Society to promote education in the film business. But the most important thing is I joke that I'm not the Tony Robbins of film classes. I don't cash your check, give you a big hug, hold your hand, and tell you you can do it. I think that's kind of a disservice to our industry. It's a lifestyle. It's very difficult. It's like joining the circus. And there's a lot of things that someone that may be more used to a 9-to-5 job, that may be used to stability and structure, they're not going to find that here. So I really kind of, again, pull back that curtain and show them all the reasons why they might not succeed and how difficult and what all those challenges are, and in some ways kind of scare them a little bit. But then after that, I turn around and show how you can overcome these challenges, how you can solve these problems, how give you all the things to expect so that you're better prepared to overcome them when they happen. And I think that serves them very, very well.
What are some of the things you use to scare or heighten awareness, if you want to put a positive spin?
I make them stand. So it's 2 12-hour days, and they have to stand the whole time. And I
really?
Don't. Oh, yeah. Well, in the film business, we're standing the whole time. You know, we stand for 12, 14, 16 hours a day, 5, possibly 6 days a week if you're working on an independent film. So you don't sit. It's kind of like, you know, the restaurant business. If you can lean, you can clean. You don't sit. So they stand up in class. The first day, they come with all this stuff that I tell them not to read if they read all the materials I send them. That's another test I give them. And they have to carry it all. So they don't have a choice. They have to carry all their stuff. We talk about how relationships can be a challenge with the number of hours you're working. You know, if you want to have a kids and a family and you want to see them, perhaps commercials might be better for you than TV and film because that takes up a lot of time. So, you know, being smart with money. You may not work for 4 months. How do you pay your bills? You know, if you're somebody who has a dollar and has to spend it, this may not be the place for you. So it's little things like that, but we also provide, you know, I have equipment in the class so they can see what the different equipment is. But I give them little things that seem like I'm just really mean, like not turning on the air conditioning in the summer. Because if you're shooting in film and you're outside in 100 degree weather in the sun, you need to be used to that. You know,
for 12 hours, you make them stand up.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Wow.
I mean, it's good practice. And I get notes afterwards saying, I thought you were just mean, but my first day on set was 14 hours. Or my legs cramped up because I didn't drink all the water you said. And I was going to be, you know, I was standing the whole time. And, you know, you prepared me for that.
If you've just joined us, this is City Lights. I'm Lois Reitzes, and I'm talking with Linda Burns about the importance of education in Georgia's film industry. And it sounds like this would apply to the film industry at large. You've said before, and it's an important point, that the film industry isn't suited for everyone. You were just giving us some vivid examples of what wouldn't be good. What are some of the positive things that people gain from going through your academy? I mean, have you had some success stories you're eager to brag about?
Oh, absolutely. I love getting notes telling me that people are joining the union, that I helped them get their start, and I offered opportunities to get them into the union. There's a girl that came through the PA Academy that has been a post-production assistant. With Marvel. So the fact that I've got kids going to Marvel shows, I've had 5 former students get into the Directors Guild of America Assistant Director Training Program, which is very competitive, which I'm very excited about. But I get notes from people all the time sharing their success with me that makes me feel really, really good. There's other people who send me notes and say, you know what, I learned that this wasn't for me. It wasn't the glamorous red carpet affair that I thought it was. But I love getting notes from people telling me about their successes. Or one group of class got together, they raised, I think, $1,500. They wrote a short film, and the entire class made a short film together that went on the festival circuit. So I love stuff like this. It's so exciting.
How is Georgia doing with education? Do we need more opportunities, more formal classes? What do we need to work on here?
I think the Georgia Film Academy and other organizations like Atlanta Film Society and Georgia Production Partnership are doing a great job of education. One thing that I'm excited about to see at Georgia Film Academy is, you know, the tough part when you're dealing with colleges and universities is you need people with training and education. And these are people who have may not even have formal education, but they've been in the business 40 years. They're retiring, and they're looking to give back. A friend of mine just got hired. I can't say his name. I don't know if it's public knowledge or not, but he just got hired, and he's been a grip in the industry for 40 years. And he's going to be teaching through the Georgia Film Academy program, and I think that's really exciting. I think I look at, and I think they're going to expand that. I think above-the-line training for creativity, content creation, writers, producers, directors, I'd like to see more of that training, which is something I also do.
Yeah, a difference in above-the-line mm-hmm. and below-the-line education, the people who write the scripts versus those who hold the microphones. What's Georgia been doing about that? It seems like there could be more leveling of the playing field, as the expression goes.
You know, I think it's tough until we have money and content or money to fuel content creation that is local. It's going to be hard to gain a lot of traction. I know Jeff Stepakoff would like to do more with the above-the-line training. I've been running a class called the D-Girl Project, which was a free monthly workshop for writers where we're developing projects and writing log lines and synopsis and descriptions and practicing pitching. I think the high schools are starting to move more towards those ideas as well. They're kind of moving away from a two-camera TV studio, almost like a WSB TV news style, to looking at more film industry. I know the Georgia Film Academy had training for teachers this summer. I trained a group of teachers this summer for a kind of a one-day production assistant academy on what they can do to their high school. So I think all this stuff is starting to gain more and more traction, and I think Georgia's really way ahead of the curve on that. It's really exciting.
In 2008, when the most comprehensive and attractive tax incentive was passed in Georgia, what were your concerns about it, and what excited you most about it?
Oh, it's so easy to say with hindsight. At the time, I was working a lot, so I didn't have to leave to find work. I moved from features and television into the commercial world and music video world. But I think it was very exciting to want to see more work here. And I think none of us had any clue that it would have turned into what it has. I think my concern is that a lot of people have moved in from out of town, which has brought fresh blood in, but has also sometimes pushed out really accomplished locals that may not have those same connections that those people coming from New York and LA are. Because when those producers and that production staff may be coming in from out of town, they're hiring their friends that they know there and maybe not qualified people here. That's probably my biggest concern. I see a lot of good people who I know can compete in those New York and LA markets that are having a struggle right now.
So some believe that if Georgia doesn't get its act together in terms of training people and growing a creative base here, that the industry will just disappear if the tax incentive, the tax credit ends. Where do you weigh in on that argument?
I don't think we need to, I don't think it really matters when it comes to local or out-of-state crew because of the way the incentives work. I think there are still plenty of locals getting work, which is exciting, and we're growing the tax base in Georgia. So I think if the incentives went away, yes, the industry would move on to another place, but there was always some work here. I think we have so many crew now that it would be problematic. Back in the day when that work left, we had some people that left town to kind of chase the work or follow it. But the group that was here that wasn't growing because we were just big enough to sustain ourselves. So I think if the industry left, it would be a problem. But when you look at I don't know why anybody would want to get rid of the incentives. I understand people think, well, it's money for Hollywood. It's not money for Hollywood. It's money for your local grocery stores, your car rentals, your hotels, your restaurants, your, you know, the zoo. I mean, the people who are coming here are spending their dollars here. They're here for 4 to 6 months. They love Atlanta. They're going out. They're seeing the city. They're going to events. They're going to attractions. You're looking at a lot of money that is poured into the local economy. Billions and billions of dollars is spent here. You pull that out, you're losing $11 billion of economic impact. It's not going and sitting in bank accounts in California. It's being spent here, even with the people who are coming in from out of town. And a lot of them are buying houses. So it's helping the housing market. You know, all these things, I think, are growing Georgia's economy. And I think it would be very short-sighted to think of this as some sort of handout, maybe, when it's not. I think it's spending more money in Georgia than we ever have before, and is an incredible thing to keep around.
Well, listening to you, this seems very compelling on many levels for keeping it. What happened? Because I think about maybe in the 90s, Louisiana had mm-hmm. a tax incentive, and then it seemed like New Mexico was where everyone was shooting film. Do you know anything about those situations compared to what we currently have or could face?
Sure. You know, it was really early 90s. I had just moved here, and it was runaway production, and it wasn't going to Louisiana. It left the country first. It went to Canada. So, I mean, LA had the problem. New York had the problem. Everyone had the problem. It was leaving the United States. But then states like Louisiana, like New Mexico, like Michigan, North and South Carolina, Florida and Georgia, Utah, everybody, even California and New York to some extent, started realizing we've got to lure the work back. And a lot of those incentives did that. I think the strength of the dollar also helps with that. But what's great about Georgia is we look like everything. You know, I mean, you can't find that in Louisiana, in Utah, in Michigan, and all these other places. We have so many different diverse looks. We have coast, mountains, rivers, streams, rural, city, old-fashioned city. We have so much here that I think makes us stand out over all those other states. But yeah, runaway production was a very serious problem. And I think we have stemmed it back into the country. And now we've just got states that are all fighting for the work.
That's fantastic in terms of thinking about the national economic impact. I do remember, now that you mention it, Toronto was a stand-in for Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
and New York. One of my favorite movies was Moonstruck. And I think Toronto stood in for Brooklyn,
mm-hmm.
some of the brownstones. Linda Burns, this has really been a pleasure, and it's been enlightening. Linda Burns' next PA Academy session will be held during the first week in November. That's already open for signups. Thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure. This was fun.